Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim, Ed, and Fred, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joined us. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, everybody.
The it's 71 here in the studios.
Yeah.
As we brace ourselves for 72.
Yeah.
Coming up sometime in the next hour.
Poor Cole Green, who's our video guy.
I like the way Cole Green. I like the way you did. Oh, you C-O-L-E.
Yes. Okay. C-O-H-L, I think.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. I mean,
the cyber criminal that works in there with the hoodie on?
Yeah. he's got a full-on sweatshirt with a hood because the one of the vents drops right on top of his head. So it doesn't matter how hot out it is outside.
Right.
Cole's going to have the...
Yeah.
My wife is cold. She likes cold air. And so I've lost a bunch of weight in the last couple of years. And now I have no body fat left, and I am freezing in my own house most of the time.
Yeah.
But it's her house and her, so, you know, what she needs, she gets.
Yeah, I can handle heat, no problem, except for when it's time to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's when it's, you know, you got to have AC.
Well, when I was growing up in New England, we didn't have central heat. Well, we had central heat. We didn't have central air. Mm-hmm. In fact, we didn't have an air conditioning in our house until I was in high school, and my dad bought a couple of window units. But I can remember tossing and turning because it was just so hot.
Yeah, yeah.
California and Colorado, we never had air conditioning.
Or hair conditioning.
Or hair conditioning. I did have hair conditioning.
I don't know why people around the country make fun of Southerners. We have air conditioning.
Yeah, well, you need it
and,
down here.
You guys tell me we didn't know what it was. You know, going like, well, all right then.
Well, it might have been the whole no indoor plumbing thing for a long time.
Oh, that
would do it.
That
too.
Is a low blow, right there. Bring in the indoor plumbing as if that's necessary. Okay.
I'm just going to say.
I know. You threw it back at me.
I'm just going to say it is good to live in a first world country.
Right.
You know, it's. I understand first world
first
problems.
World country,
I try to remind myself. But the solution to the world's problems is not to make first world countries into third world countries. It's to make third world countries into first world countries.
Take note, everybody.
That's what I want to say.
I vote for Ed Battagliano.
It is good to visit a third world country to make you appreciate you have.
That's right.
Steve, you lived in one.
I did.
For how many years?
For 5 years. 4 years. Yeah. Well, if you count France,
growing
5 years.
Madagascar?
Madagascar, yeah.
Yeah. Is that considered a third world?
It is. It is. Very poor. A lot of in the town I lived in, we lived in the capital, and it was a larger city, and so we had a nice apartment, all the amenities of life, indoor plumbing and all that kind of stuff. But throughout most of the country, it's tribal.
You know, it just seems elementary that you look around the world. And I don't know if you guys ever seen the map at night of North Korea, South Korea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
The dividing line between communism and capitalism.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Look up South Korea at night from space, and you see the line is clear because on the south side of Korea is a bunch of lights. And the north side of Korea, there's just a little bit of light around the capital of North Korea. Why? Because communism doesn't work economically or otherwise, and capitalism and free enterprise do work.
By the way, socialism too. Socialism lumped in with communism do not work.
Right. So I'm just saying that totalitarian. Now, China has, you know, China's a communist country too, but China's
a hybrid. Kind of, isn't it?
I think they realized that they had to do something 50 years ago, 40 years ago, to take advantage of economic prosperity in the world. They could make stuff and sell stuff and sustain their, but they still have an economic, they still have a totalitarian communistic, so it's a bit of a hybrid.
Yeah, I think so.
They allow some free enterprise, but they control the state.
Right, a lot of state planning.
But what I was going to say was, if you look around the world, there are places that, because of their government and because of their history, will never break out of poverty.
Right.
100 years from now, guess what? Somebody's going to be sitting here at a church raising money for a mission trip to Africa to help people who are living in poverty, uh-huh. or Central America,
or Haiti.
I was going to say Haiti.
We're going to be, you know, wanting to raise money to help the poor people in poverty in those parts of the world. Mm-hmm. That goes on and on and on and on. Why? Even though they have natural resources, a lot of them, is because their socialism, they're turning over one dictator after another, or one leader after another, and the corruptness is a big deal around the world.
Yep.
Most of the world operates off bribery. Mm-hmm. Now, in America, yeah, we have bribery, but most of the time, if you're a government official and you're caught in bribery, you go to jail. There are penalties to that. But I'm just saying that is the way of the world.
Yeah.
And so until that changes, those places like many parts of Africa or Central America or Asia are going to remain in poverty, sad to say, even though they have immense natural resources. Go ahead. The value of education, too, yeah. I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We value education in the West. Mm-hmm. You know, and they do too in the East, in many parts, and that's a key factor in being able to elevate your way of life out of poverty into the modern world, I should say. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, you know who else is very thankful to be living in a first world country is our Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell. We're finding out now that on June 14th, a 911 call was placed from his home. And an ambulance arrived to find him unconscious. He may have suffered a heart attack at his D.C. residence. He was rushed to the local hospital last month where they revived him. And I don't know if he's back at work, but 84 years old. This is Mitch McConnell. You may have remembered a couple times that he's kind of frozen up in front of a microphone, just kind of lost presence, just kind of, and he's not been well. He's not running again. He will end his career in the Senate come November, January, I guess, when his term's up.
But yeah,
so close call for Mitch McConnell.
Senate Majority Leader for many years from the state of Kentucky. Next Four story.
I want to congratulate law enforcement. There are two mass casualty events that they have prevented in the last week. I take you to High Point, North Carolina, where authorities arrested 44-year-old William Milliken. They arrested him outside of Wesley Memorial Church on a Sunday morning, June 28th, after a 911 call reported an armed man in camouflage sitting in a truck. And one of the off-duty police officers at the church went and confronted him. They found two flamethrowers, two crossbows, 500 rounds of ammunition, a CO2-powered launcher made to resemble a handgun, knives, duct tape, oxycodone pills, body armor. He was taken into custody, and they prevented. He had a list with him of addresses of churches, schools, and other public buildings.
Oh. Now,
and it was neither one of these have been widely reported at all in the media.
Is that the
no?
Okay, not the one we were talking about this morning.
No, that's the second one I was going to bring up.
So this was just a guy who. Any idea what his motive was?
No, I haven't read that. All I know is that he had a list of other churches, so we can guess that it was that he was not a fan of the church or Christianity.
Yeah, a lot of our listeners probably have caught on to where the left is going in this country because they do hear stories like that on American Family Radio and on America, on our website, American Family News, AFN.net. But there's a lot of people in this country who don't know that there is this undercurrent of violence,
yeah,
hostility, even hatred towards Christianity. And good on the local law enforcement that uncovered this.
Absolutely. And then the second one I wanted to talk about in Las Vegas, a transgender man named Allison Howlett.
When you say transgendered man.
He was a man who was pretending to be a woman.
He's a transgender woman.
Well, no, I don't use those. He was a man.
Well, he's not a transgender man. Well, he's a man.
He has male body parts.
Right.
But he says, I'm a girl.
Right. Yeah.
I got
Sorry,
you.
I don't know how to say that.
That's why I'm asking.
It's confusing.
I wanted to make it clear as mud for our listeners.
Allison is the guy, what he calls himself. Anyway, his quote-unquote spouse called the police to say that he had stolen her car and taken off, and they found him in front of on the Las Vegas Strip. He had more than 22 firearms, rifles and handguns. He had firearms equipment that were, and suppressor, hundreds of rounds of ammunition. I want to play for you. This is interesting. He was reported by several outlets as being transgender. He's a guy that wanted to be a woman. But Fox 5 in Las Vegas reported on this. And I want you to hear their reporter, how she goes to, let's say, extremes to avoid mentioning a gender in this. This is Cut 14.
This is Sophia Brensma from Fox 5 Vegas. Metro police are saying that there was a possible terrorist attack that could have been avoided, that could have taken place this weekend on Saturday at Sunset Station in Henderson near the casino. And this all started when they say that Henderson police received a call from the suspect, Allison Howland's partner or ex-partner, saying that the suspect, Allison, had stolen her vehicle and that there were firearms inside. So police started investigating. They tracked the car down to the parking garage at Sunset Station. Inside the vehicle, they found 22 firearms with hundreds of rounds of ammunition. They say Allison refused officers' orders, but they were successful in detaining the suspect. They say that the suspect was sitting on a firearm and also had another firearm, a fully loaded, silenced machine gun, in the back seat while the suspect was blaring loud music. They had to tase the suspect once before putting them into custody.
How many times did they use the suspect?
And before putting them into custody.
Yeah. Huh.
And
them.
Yeah.
Prefer pronoun. Yeah.
Because don't want to say him, then you say them.
Yeah.
They them is the established pronoun if you don't want to.
Okay. Say. Ridiculous.
You mentioned some this morning, Tim, also. Our listeners were alert to this, that the lady who's doing this news report called the suspect by the first name, Allison. Allison. That hardly ever happens.
No.
It's either you use the gender pronoun,
yeah,
or you refer to the last name. But this woman,
she was a young
reporter.
She may have been new, not knowing that. Also, the quote unquote spouse was named Julie Howlett. They used the same last name, so maybe they were trying to avoid confusion there. I don't know, but
yeah,
you're right. It is not a practice that we in journalism use.
Next story.
All right. I want to play you what I think is some of the most racist comments I've ever heard coming out of a professional commentator. Stephen A. Smith is a basketball commentator, and
he's more than that. He's a pop culture and political commentator.
Yeah.
He's pretty well known. Even if people don't know, they've heard him before. Stephen A. Smith. I mean, he's been
encouraged to run for president.
Yeah, a basketball commentator, but he's also a commentator on a lot of things.
All sports.
Yeah. Very popular voice influencer, let's say. And anyway, he is taking issue with the Los Angeles Lakers, saying they have too many white players. Listen to this, Cut 17.
Where do the Los Angeles Lakers think they're going with a bunch of white dudes? Your three top players are white dudes? Really? This ain't golf. This ain't baseball. It ain't even soccer. What y'all think this is? Basketball. In NBA history, when have you seen your three most prominent players on a basketball team all be white? And that takes you to the promised land. Somebody got to say it, so I'm saying it. This is basketball. I'm not complaining. I'm simply making the point. The Los Angeles Lakers, you ain't going anywhere being led by three white dudes in today's generation of basketball. I'm letting you know right now, it ain't happening. And Luka's a bad brother. And Austin Reeves is no scrub. And they both have earned what they have earned. And then with LeBron James or some other brothers, I get. But those two and Walker Kessler, you ain't scaring anybody with that. And Rob Pelinka has done made this white dude central. No wonder LeBron James walked out the door.
Well, I don't know. That was crazy. Right there, he just imagine a white commentator saying, "You think this baseball team's going to make it being led by black people?
Yeah,
are you kidding me? What's wrong with you? Can you imagine that person would be run out of the country?
Well, listen, you'd also be run out of the country if you said that the reason Stephen A. Smith can say that is because black people are better athletes than white people. You can't even say that, because then people say, well, why are you saying that? And then you get into all the talk about, you know, muscles and genetics and all that kind of stuff. And then you're a racist for saying that. I don't know why the same rules don't apply to everyone across the board when you talk about race.
Yeah, I think that was he says some stuff I agree with, Stephen A. Smith. That was stupid. Let me tell you something. There is coming into the National Basketball Association, the NBA, which I don't pay close attention to. I do watch it when it's getting the finals or the deep into the playoffs. I do get interested in that then because I'm a basketball fan of the game, but pay more attention to the collegiate level. But there's coming into the NBA a wave of European players, and they are white, and they're very good. Okay, so I don't think, if you're going to say that athleticism has something to do with your genetic makeup. Well, Jimmy the Greek got fired for that, right?
Yep, he did.
Because he said, what did he say? African-Americans' hamstrings are longer.
High twitch muscles or something. Yeah, it's just.
Well, I mean, you know, you look at athletics in America, it's a combination. Well, athletics around the world, for those who are at the top levels, it's a combination of a body and mind. And eye coordination, baseball, it's very skilled hand coordination that is extraordinary, having nothing to do with your skin color. Really, skin color itself would have nothing to do with anything. How would the color of somebody's skin make? Now, if you want to say, well, this ethnicity is better at jumping or running or. If that's just a fact of life, that's a fact of life. I mean, the Asians seem to be better at math.
Yeah,
maybe they have a better training. I don't know.
Or Ethiopians, you talk about long distance runners. Some of that may be attributed to the higher elevation and those kind of things. But that rant,
right,
that Stephen A. Smith went on, totally unnecessary, and
right.
He needs to tone that back. It's not helpful.
Can you, Ed, think of an NBA team that was led by three white dudes that went to the promised land? I bet you can.
You mean pre or post integration? Integration.
Oh, post.
Yeah,
I
post.
Think pre,
yeah,
pre
yeah, yeah can. So the Boston Celtics had, in the Larry Bird era, did have some great white ball players on it. It wasn't full.
And Danny Ainge.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But Larry, that's been Burke. A long time ago.
But they also
Bill Walton, Pete Maravich. They had those guys. That was in the twilight of their careers.
Yeah, but they had Cornbread Maxwell and Robert Parrish. I mean, they had a lot of good black players too. Dennis
Rodman, actually, didn't he play?
No, I'm not talking about Rodman. He was black and he played.
But listen, it's undeniable that black athletes have dominated the NBA and the NFL for
right,
for decades. So, I mean, that's undeniable. But to, for him to say that, you know, white players, you're not going to be able to go, you're not going to be able to achieve success with three white players. That is just crazy. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, to that point,
yeah,
these professional teams, whatever it is, basketball, football, hockey, whatever, they invest millions of dollars.
Yeah.
They're going to hire people to achieve success.
Right. They don't
care
what
color. Not because of their skin color.
Right, I know. Well, what Stephen A. Smith, maybe he'll apologize for that. What he's saying, though, is right there, and we'll move on here, is you're not going to be able to win in professional basketball with white people leading the way. I mean, he didn't say, he didn't put any caveats in it or anything. He said it's because of their skin color that they're going to be unable to beat the, he called them brothers.
Yeah.
That's what he called them.
Brothers.
That's what black men call each other.
Right.
Oftentimes. And that's just, I like some of the things Stephen A. Smith says, but if you reverse the role and you had a white commentator saying something of that nature,
out
then
with a blaze of glory.
He would be banned from America for life. So, all right, next story.
All right, speaking of banning, NBC, the Today Show, was reporting on the latest Supreme Court decisions, and they were reporting on the decision that the Supreme Court made that said that you cannot put boys into girls' sports. And Craig Melvin, who was hosting the show when they were talking about this, decided he needed to put a trigger warning in for their listeners. This is what he said, cut 16.
Just a quick note here. The terms that we're using here during our reporting, biological male, biological female, the high court put those terms in quotations in their decision and their dissent. But just so you know, we're using those terms from the decision itself, biological male, biological female.
What a nation of weenies. I said weenies, not weedies. So they had to put a trigger warning in because they used biological. I hope I live long enough. At some point, unless our country goes completely off the rails and into the dustbin of history, at some point our nation is going to look back at this time and say, what kind of craziness, what kind of hysteria took over this country to where they would say things like men can have babies, you know, and we can't say biological. This,
I'll tell you one thing. If you think in the NBA you're going to win with three biological females leading the way, then you've got another thing coming. Am I right?
That is actually a true statement.
That's actually a true statement.
That would be true.
Okay, that's just, listen. The ways in which these reporters have to try to dance around the truth is to not to offend somebody.
You know why they do that? Because they don't want to wind up working at Costco. They want to stay in their job, and their job requires wokeness.
There's really, if you want to boil it down, there's no thing as biological female or biological male. It's either male or female. You don't even need the word biological.
Right. Yeah.
Why I was having trouble with the first story today about transgender.
but they have to do that to describe the situation.
Yeah.
Because you have men putting on dresses saying, I'm Sally.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we're all going, no, you're Bill. We know who you are. Okay. You can call yourself Sally, but you're Bill.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Steve, Fred, thank you.
You bet.
My thanks to Ed Battagliano. And let's see, who else is in here? Chris Woodward, Sandy Frank, Brent Creeley, Cole Green, and the cast of
dozens.
Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful celebration this weekend. Again, tomorrow, a patriotic special during this time on American Family Radio.